This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Acts the 20th chapter. If you don't mind, and a custom in our church, we stand for the reading of God's word. Acts the 20th chapter. We want to begin at verse 17. We're going to skip around a little bit, but verse 17. Amen. Acts the 20th chapter. That is in the New Testament. Amen. Following Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Amen. Look in the table of contents if you need it. Amen. It's on page 965 in my Bible. Acts 20th chapter, verse 17. It says, From Miletus he sent unto Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befall me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound up in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that both bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know ye all among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Let's jump down to verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you should ought to support the weak and to remember the words of Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us all say amen. 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 Just turn to your neighbor before you sit down and high five them and say, neighbor, we have a commitment. Amen. Put your hands together and just bless Jesus real good. We have a commitment. You know, we are living in a time and a society where people lack commitment. Commitment. If you ask any of the ladies in the house that are still single, that many times they've gone to a relationship and getting a man to get into a commitment, they kind of stop and see and go, they have a trouble getting the word commitment out. I mean, have you ever really asked anybody to do something and they often responded with, well, I'll try. I'll see what we can do. You ever call a company on the phone and they say, well, we're going to do the best we can? Where is the commitment that we used to have? We used to say yes and no, but there's no commitment. I remember my first missionary journey to Guyana, South America in 2006, and I was staying in this raggedy hotel. I mean, it was toe up from the flow up. There was so much moisture in the room that my clothes turned to mold after 3 weeks. But I remember my room was the only room in the hotel that had internet service. You know, I was in heaven. I said, forget the mold. All right, as long as I got high Wi-Fi. My room was the only room in the hotel that had internet service, and the office had it. But my internet service in my room went down. And I went to the hotel manager and said, look, I know I'm the only one that has this, but I really need it. I said, can you help me get my internet back? He says, listen, are you going out right now? I said, sure. I said, but I'll be back at 3 o'clock. He says, I'll guarantee that when you get back at 3 o'clock, the internet service will be on. I didn't know how he was going to do it, what the resources would come, but he was committed to do it. I came back at 3 o'clock. He says, sir, we had a problem, but we fixed it. We took the internet service out of our office and ran it to your room because we want to make sure that we fulfilled our commitment. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. Cece Winans, in her song, Bring Back the Days of Yay and Nay, she says these words, I remember when life was so simple. You did or you didn't. You would or you wouldn't. But it ain't like that anymore. I remember when life was so easy. People said what they meant. They were either for or against. But it ain't like that anymore. People lack commitment. In our text, Paul is at the end of his third missionary journey, and he is headed towards death. He is headed to at least what he is aware of as bonds and afflictions. He knows that he is going to a troublesome place. And the Bible says, as he goes through from verse 12, he is at Troas. And those who had chosen 300 a few weeks ago, we dealt with Eutychus, the guy whose name meant lucky, but he fell out the window and died, but Paul resurrected him. But after that, Paul is hurrying, and he winds up at this place in verse 17 called Miletus, and he calls for the elders that are at Ephesus. They were coming from Ephesus to Miletus to meet with Paul because Paul had a report to give them. And if we can just drop a note here, I believe that we ought to be accountable to somebody. Now these elders here at Ephesus were not his superiors, they were his subordinates. But he was willing to share with them and testify what his commitment was, that he might show in an example to them that he was committed to the cause of Christ. But not only did he report to his subordinates, when you stop by chapter 21, you find that he will go to James and to the elders, the same ones that commissioned him when they extended the right hand of fellowship to him and Barnabas, that they should share the gospel to the heathen, but also to remember the poor. He went back to them and made a report of the things that he had done and preached, and how the gospel was spread not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Somebody ought to say amen. Here in Miletus, we find that Paul talks about four commitments that the Christian church should have. Four commitments, not false promises, not professing, but four commitments that the church should have. The first one is found in verse 17 to 21. And we read that, but it says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said, ye know from the first day that I came to Asia, after the manner which I had with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind and with tears and temptations, which befall me by the lying of the weight of Jews, and how I kept nothing back from you that was profitable and unto you. But I've showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. And this is the kicker. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The first commitment of the church is to share the gospel. It's to share the gospel. We get hung up with a whole bunch of other mess. You know, it's not about the Eastern Star. It's not about the Masons. It's not about whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's not about whether you're Black, white, Hispanic, Asian. It's not about whether you're Pentecostal, Baptist, Lutheran, Church of God in Christ, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. But are we sharing the gospel?
When Peter came to Jesus, and Jesus says, look, I want to find out what everybody's saying about me. He says, who do men say that I am? And he says, some say that thou art Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the other prophets. He says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said that upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You're going to get it. You're clapping, but you don't get it. But see, upon this foundation that people will profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who has come to save those that were lost, that is how I'm going to build my church. It's not on fried chicken dinners. It's not on fish fries. It's not on fashion shows. It's preaching the gospel of repentance, that people should come and be saved. Jesus, when he was checking out, and he was about to be ascended in Matthew, the 28th chapter, he says, listen, if you want to find out what I want you to do, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded of you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Now, a lot of times we get wrapped up in that last part, lo, I'm with you always, but don't expect God to be with you if you're not sharing the gospel. See, a lot of times we grab on to the end of the verse, but we forget about the requirement. In order for God to be with you, you need to get out and share the gospel. When is the last time you told somebody about Jesus? You know, we walk around in our jobs. Young people, we walk around in school, and don't nobody know that we're saved. We don't want to let nobody know that we are Jesus freak. I'm sorry, I forgot I was in Bethlehem. We don't want to let nobody to know that we all holy roller. Don't let nobody call you a saint. Oh, no, I'm not a saint. Yes, I am. Because I'm blood washed. I'm changed. I am perfect in the sight of God because he washed me. Not because of what I've done. Because of his grace. Not because of who I am. Because of his mercy. He says, now are we the righteousness of God. We got to preach the gospel. We got to go over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Not only that Jesus was born, but he died. Not only that he died, but he was buried. He was buried in a borrowed tomb because he intended to give it back. And early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Somebody ought to put your hands together and bless the Lord. The commitment of the church. The first commitment is that we got to share the gospel. We got to share the gospel. The second one is found in verse 22 to 24. It says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me there. But none of these things move me. I like that. You're going to get it in a second. None of these things move me. Neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel and grace of God. The second thing about commitment is that the commitment requires cost. The commitment requires cost. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the commitment requires cost. Paul here is headed towards death. Paul is headed towards, at least as he is aware at this point, bonds and afflictions. But yet Paul says these wonderful words, none of these things move me. You're going to get it. None of these things move. What moves you from your testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? You do not know what affliction is. You think affliction is your friends laughing at you. You think affliction is not being able to go to all the neighborhood parties. You think affliction is not having a lot of friends. I want to let you know you have not experienced affliction until you entered a country where it's a dictatorship and people do not have the freedom to talk about Jesus, where you're locked up, you're whipped and even killed. My wife just returned from Aturu, Nigeria, sharing the gospel over there. And even through Cairo, Egypt, 83% of the population is Islamic. And as she went through the checkpoint, she had to deal with shotguns being pulled out at the window to see who they were. And they had to pretend like they were tourists because of the fact if they were said they were there for the missionary work, they would have been killed. That's suffering for the cause of Christ. And you scared because somebody going to laugh at you. But what moves you? What moves you away from the cause of Christ? Jesus said it this way. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. And let him take up his and follow me. For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall gain it. And whosoever shall gain his life shall lose it. And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me bring this home a little bit. I remember 10 years ago at the early stages of our ministry, we were standing out on the parkway and Pastor Kwan and Pastor Douglas was there. This was the initiation night for Bethlehem and Upper Dublin Lutheran. They came down. And that night there was a problem in the city and the police lined up on Benjamin Franklin Parkway. And they said that if you feed them, we're going to arrest you. If you feed them, we're going to arrest you. Well, you know what? We joined hands in the middle of that parkway, and we touched and agreed, because if you get two or three gathered together, touching and agreeing, he says, I'm right there in the midst. And we began to touch and agree. And then the captain called and said, get everybody else, but leave them alone. So you got to put your steps where your mouth is. See, I told them a long time ago, I'm not moving off this parkway. I'm going to stay right here, share the gospel, and help people. And if it takes you arresting me, go ahead. I'll go to jail. You want to lock me up? Here, let me help you. Here's my arm. Because until you are willing to pay all costs and die for the cause of Christ, you have not truly become a Christian. I'm not going to get invited back. They're going to send me out of here. But you have to understand that it requires cost. See, Jesus, I'm trying to get to the next point, but Jesus, he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What is this mind? Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The same mindset that Christ had, we need to put on that same mind and put it inside of us. Somebody ought to say amen. 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 I don't know about anybody want to be a Christian now. Let's keep going. Acts, the 20th chapter. We're going to get to the end, the 33rd to the 34th verse. It says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Well, what is Paul saying? Paul's saying, yes, we have to be committed to the commission. We got to be committed to the cause. But the third thing is that we got to be committed to our conviction. We got to be committed to our conviction. You know, I'm concerned. I don't talk about preachers, but I have a problem when somebody's got a $23,000 toilet and people are sleeping on the streets. I'm sorry. We can talk about government. We expect government to fail if they're of this world. But one thing I don't expect to fail is the church. And if anybody has failed the needy, if anybody has failed the hungry, it's been the church. Not Bethlehem, because Bethlehem's a chosen 300 church, but the church has failed in the area of making sure people are fed, that people are clothed. We have only the requirement to meet our necessities, not all of our lavish wants. We don't need gold rings on every finger. We don't need 15 cars. You can only drive one at a time. We got to be committed to our conviction. We got to commit it to the commission, to the cost, and the conviction. We got to make sure that the church goes back to the way that it used to be. You know, I'm in Lutheran seminary right now, and at the seminary, I'm concerned about this thing called grace. I believe that God issues grace, but grace ought not to be used like an American Express gold card. That every time you need it, well, I got a card so I can pay for that one with grace. No, Paul said, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? He says, no, we got to make sure that we do everything. Paul says, not that I have apprehended that which also I apprehended in Christ Jesus, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. We got to be committed to the commission. We got to be committed to the cost. We got to be committed to our conviction. Well, what is the last thing? We got to be committed to compassion. We got to be committed to compassion. Here, Paul in the 20th chapter, in the 35th through the 36th verse, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, a lot of times we walk around with our hands out. What can I have? What can I have? What can you give me? Give me, 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 I need, I need, I need. But when have you extended your hand and said, how can I help? How can I help? What can I do? You know, Jesus said it in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said that the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and he shall separate the sheep from the goats. He shall say, the goats on my left, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and into the everlasting fire, because I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was in prison and you didn't come to see about me. You know, when I first started preaching about 20 years ago, there was this lady that told me, shouldn't point your finger. Shouldn't point your finger by your preachers. Now, it's a deadly thing. You didn't do it. You have to understand that we are required, every last one of us, to do the work of the kingdom. And what's the work of the kingdom? Share the gospel, help the poor. Share the gospel and help the poor. See, when Paul, after he leaves this 20th chapter, and he gets to the 21st chapter, and he goes to James and the elders of the church, he says, look, I've done what you told me to do. I've shared the gospel, and I remembered the weak. Because in Galatians, it says, and he went to the elders of the church, he says, look, there's two things that you have to do. Share the gospel to the heathen, but remember the poor. We love sharing the gospel. We love all this worship stuff. We love the beautiful stained glass windows. We love coming in here with the nice lights. But service is not from the doxology to the benediction. It's from the benediction to the doxology. Some of y'all didn't get it, so let me make it plain. See, in the Baptist church, that they have the invocation or the opening prayer, and right after that, they have what's called the doxology. And at the end of the service, they have the benediction. And many of us are only interested in living with Jesus from the doxology to the benediction. But Jesus wants you to serve him from the benediction to next week's doxology. I can't get no help in here. We got to return to a spirit of giving. We have to return to a spirit of giving. It's a shame for you to show up for church and the Lord's blessed you with a good job He's blessed you with means, and all you do is show up with a dollar. Now, if all you got is a dollar, that's fine, but you ought to be paying your tithes. I can't get no amens in here, Dr. Kwan. Because the Bible says that if you don't pay your tithes, you're a crook. You're a thief. They need to lock you up and throw away the key. You're the worst kind of criminal because you're stealing from God. You're talking about all the people locked up in jail. They need to lock you up. But the reason why we tithe is so that there can be meat and provision in a storehouse for the purpose of sharing the gospel and helping the poor. Our commitment to the commission, our commitment to cost, our commitment to our conviction, and our commitment to compassion. We have to become a committed kingdom. I know this is Bethlehem Baptist Church, but there's something bigger than Bethlehem Baptist Church. I know Chosen 300 is here, but there's something bigger than Chosen 300. It's called the kingdom. You know, I got to go to a close, but you know when Jesus, if you read throughout all the Gospels, there's only two places where he talks about the church. When Peter, what we talked about earlier, when he says, upon this rock I shall build my church, and it means it is the way by people should come into the church by confessing me as Lord. He says, upon this rock I'll build my church. That's one place. The second place is that when there's an ought between two or three of you, that you should get together, and if it doesn't work, go to the elders of the church. But everywhere else, he talks about the kingdom. The kingdom is not based on whether you're Baptist. It doesn't matter whether you're Pentecostal, Church of God in Christ, Lutheran, Episcopalian, black, white, blue, green, Asian, Hispanic. If you love Jesus, you're part of the kingdom. You know, we got it twisted in the church. We got it so twisted. We're so concerned about what color we are, who we are. You know what? The greatest membership that you can be part of is the kingdom. That's what makes you my brother. Doesn't matter whether you Kappa. Doesn't matter whether you Alpha. Do you know Jesus? Are you part of the kingdom? I got to go. Pastor Kwan is coming. I want to encourage you that if you don't know Jesus, get to know him now. Get to know him now. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And however he does it, that's fine. But listen, Jesus died for you. In John 3:16, it says that for God so loved the world. That's my job, to share the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans, the 10th chapter and the 9th verse, it says that if you, that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's promise to you. Come on, somebody put your hands together and praise God. Pastor Khan, come on.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.